The book of Proverbs begins this way. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. That's the wisdom of the opening of the book of Proverbs. And this morning, as we look into God's Word, I do so with a kind of a mixture of happiness and sadness. Because really this service is a service that has some happiness and sadness to it. A little bit later on, we're going to have a couple words of farewell for the Diaz family. This is their last Sunday here. And those of you who don't know them, Paul is an animator for Blue Sky, and he's been given a promotion, I guess, or a move to Disney. And so they're going to be moving next month, and this is their last Sunday. And that obviously makes it a sad occasion whenever you have to say goodbye to people that you know. Paul and Amira and their little daughter Isabella were in our small group, and we got to know them fairly well. And over the course of a number of years that they've been in the church, a number of you have as well. And it's always a mixed deal when people leave. I mean, you could say it's a happy thing that they're leaving because they're leaving because Paul gets to go to Disney. I mean, if you're an animator, that's like going to heaven, probably. I don't know. So I know for them, there's that positive side that this is really an exciting time. And of course, it's a happy occasion because we just had a baby dedication, and baby dedications are always special and always happy. And it's great to have a family commit to see their son grow up to know God, and it's great to be part of that together as a church family. So it's a happy occasion with some sadness, I suppose. And actually, quite honestly and frankly, it's a mixed occasion for Sue and me today, because our son Carl goes off to college this afternoon. Now, it's a happy occasion for us because he's going to the college he most wanted to go to, and he's actually going for a program, a wilderness experience that takes place for a couple weeks before college starts, and we've been told it's a great way to get to know some of the other incoming freshmen. So this is something we encouraged him to go on, even though he's leaving us 2 weeks earlier than he otherwise would. We're happy for that. But at the same time, it's a change in a chapter in our lives. And we find it sad to think about taking him to the airport and saying goodbye. And those of you who are here who have kids who are going off to college, we've got a few families like that. Deanna and Joanna, I know John Sampaio, I don't see the Sampaios here, Max Swerdloff. We have a few different students who are going off to college, and your families know what it is to anticipate that feeling. And some of you have already sent your kids off to college, and you know what it is to leave them there at the school or to see them drive off or however that takes place. It's a happy, sad occasion. And this morning, because of these different occasions that we celebrate, I wanted to kind of indulge myself and hopefully benefit you by sharing something that I've thought about doing for probably 15 years, and that is to give some advice to those of you who are going off to college. Now, I say that because what I want to say also is a word that I hope will be a benefit to David and Jacqueline as parents as they think about raising Lily and Joseph. And hopefully it'll be a benefit to Paul and Amira as they relocate. But it really began in my thinking as something that I wanted to share with students who went off to college. Because sadly enough, the statistics are that the average high school a senior who leaves a church much like ours drops out of church and doesn't come back. And that really hurts me to think of that possibility. And certainly as a father, I hope that's not my child, and I hope it's none of you that are heading out, but there are an awful lot of families that have had that experience. So I found myself thinking, what are some life lessons that may be of some help to your faith as you leave here and transition on? Or putting it differently, what are some life lessons, David and Jacqueline, that you can teach to Joseph and to Lily to help them grow up to be the very people that you've wanted for them? And as Paul and Omira moved to California, what are some things that they can hang on to from Scripture that will help them? And hopefully, in the middle of all this, there's some value for the rest of you to hang on to. I found myself thinking of four things. We could probably be here all afternoon if we tried to distill the most important aspects of the Bible. But if you know the way I normally preach, I usually pick a text of Scripture and explain it. But this is really a distillation of kind of a lifetime as a father and a pastor of studying Scripture. So I wanted to kind of start and be based in the book of Proverbs, because most of what I have to say fits into the book of Proverbs. But it goes beyond that, and I hope you'll indulge me, because I think you'll find that it is true to the whole of Scripture. But this passage that I read before, this opening in the book of Proverbs, says that this book is a book to give guidance. And what parent, when they're dedicating their child or when they're bringing a newborn home for the first time, doesn't feel like, boy, I wish this baby came with an instruction booklet? You know, you don't get that. You can buy a blender and they'll have instructions, but you have a human life and there's no booklet that comes along with it. You need guidance to raise a son or a daughter. And when you move and you go to a strange place, whether it's a new job or a new campus, it helps to have some guidance. So let me just give you four things this morning that I think may be of some benefit. The first is, if you want to live life successfully, you need to have your priorities straight. Get first things first. And that's where the whole book of Proverbs begins. Verse 7 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Really, the whole book of Proverbs is kind of founded on that one verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is, for each of you going off to college, Max and Deanna and Joanna, John, Carl, there's probably some other people that are leaving that I'm not even aware of, but as you think about where you're going, the most important thing you can do is to keep first things first in your life. Keep things central. When the Bible talks about fearing the Lord, it doesn't mean to live in terror of Him. Although, as you read through the Bible, you discover that whenever people have encounters with God, they're almost always falling on their knees, overwhelmed with the awesomeness of God. But predominantly, that's not the major focus of this word, fear. It really has more to do with reverence, with letting what God says be the thing that guides your life. And that is foundational to all of the book of Proverbs. If you put God first in your life, then the other things will take their proper perspective. Jesus said it in Matthew 6:33. "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to you as well." I've shared with you before that Sue's dad had taken that verse as a life verse, and he said, "Give first priority to Jesus Christ and the values of His kingdom, and everything else will work out all right." And I think that's great advice for you as you go off to college. to realize that you're going to be overwhelmed with new opportunities. You're going to have teachers and advisors and friends who all are going to have agendas. Some are going to be social agendas, some are going to be study agendas, and if you don't know what your priorities are, you're going to be pulled around just like a kite in the wind. But if you know your priorities, you know to keep God first, then the other things will take the proper place. So that's the first lesson, the first bit of advice. Give God first priority in your life as you go off to college. And as you're raising your kids, help them know that whatever else happens in their life, it is centered on God. It's not just that we give Him lip service in church, but that all of life is focused on Him. That's that passage I read in Deuteronomy. It really starts out with fearing God and teaching your kids how to follow Him. So whatever happens in your life, wherever you go, that is a foundational principle, a lesson we can live by. Keeping first things first. Well, there's a second lesson that seems to me that kind of flows out of this, and I realize this comes with my bias as a pastor. But if you're going to try to keep first things first at college, find a good church. When you go off to college, make that a priority. I was asking Carl, we went out to breakfast this week, and I told him I was going to preach a sermon on things that I would like for college students to know. And I said, what do you think I'm going to say? And the first thing he said to me was, find a good church. And I think the reason he said that was because, Sue pointed this out, when his brother Kerry went off to school, every week when he would call home from school, I'd say, hey, have you found a good church yet? Have you found a good church? And whether that actually did any good, maybe not, it may have been counterproductive. But at least Carl, listening on the other end of the line, understood that's a priority. And the reason it's got to be a priority is because as you head off in your life, there's nobody else who's going to be concerned about keeping your life on track. And as you raise your kids, if they are raised to know the value of church and the benefit of relating to the church family and benefiting from other people, they're going to be stronger for that. And really, I think one of the things those of us who have younger children, or those of you who have younger children, can do to help them as they head off to college in future years is help them understand the importance of church now. Because if they don't learn it up through high school, they're probably not going to embrace it after high school. But if you're serious about keeping God first in your life, you need those people in your life who are going to help you do that. So you need to find a church that is focused on the right things. Now, how do you find a good church? Well, let me tell you this much. It's not easy. And probably many of you could probably do a better job of explaining the challenges of finding a good church than I have, because my job in finding a good church is sending out a resume, as I did 15 years ago, and then interviewing with a search committee, and then we found a good church. But it's very different when you have to do some church shopping. And the reality is, when you go off to college, when you move to a new community, there's nobody who's going to check up on you to see if you've really gone to church. In fact, you go to a new community, you move in there, there's so many things to do when you first move in that church shopping is oftentimes kind of the last thing you want to do. And when you go to college, there's so many things happening on Saturday night. Getting up on Sunday is tough enough. And then to go with a bunch of strange people and try to sort out whether you're going to be comfortable there, it's not easy. So the temptation is just to put it off. But if you realize this is a lifeline to being the person God wants you to be, then you'll make it a priority. It's important to realize when you go to a church that I would say a good church has a few different characteristics. One is, it's a place where you know if you go there, you're going to be taught the Bible. You're going to be taught the Word of God. So that you know how you're supposed to live. Hopefully, when you go to that church, it's a church where you find that the Bible's taught in a relevant fashion. So there's something you can apply to your life and you can take home and you can figure out, how's this going to work in the college setting, or how's this going to work in my work world? But make sure that you learn something from the Bible. And if you're not getting taught the Bible, there are a lot of churches that have a lot of other things going for them, but if they're not helping you know what God's truth is, then check out another church. And the second thing you need to find in a good church is find people. When you go to that church, people who really seem excited about their faith. People who want their lives to count for God. You're never going to go to a church where you're going to find perfect people. In fact, if you go to a church where everybody's perfect, don't ever go back to that church again. For two reasons. One, they're not all perfect. There's something weird going on there. And two, they'll find out that you're not perfect and you'll get in all kinds of trouble. So just find the churches, not where people are perfect, but where they're committed to following God and to living out their faith. And then find a church, finally, that where you feel like you fit in. I mean, there are a lot of good churches that teach the Bible and the people want to follow God, but it just doesn't really fit you. And you just feel kind of like, I don't connect with anybody there. You need a place where you can build some relationships so that they can help hold you strong. And again, as parents, helping your kids know that as they grow up, the importance of a church and why the church is important to you and why it should be important to them. If they learn that growing up, they're going to know to look for that when they go someplace else. So I can tell you, it's not going to be easy. Those of you going off to college. Now, Deanna, your mom may have a say in what church you go to, but I think she'll probably let you choose on your own. The rest of you won't have your moms and dads close by to tell you, get up and go to church. It's going to be a choice that you're going to have to make. And so you have to say, this is important. If I'm going to keep God central in my life, I really need to be part of a church family. And so I'm going to get up and I'm going to go, and there's going to be a bunch of strange people that I don't know. And when you first go to a new church, people aren't going to know you. You'll go a week or two and they won't notice that you're there. If you go to a big church, you can go for a month and they won't notice that you're there. And you may find that no one will ever ask you, how come we haven't seen you in church? You've got to take the initiative and get to know enough people so somebody there will know you and will make it worth your while to be back there. But first thing, make God the central priority in your life. Fear Him. Give Him first place. And if you do that, then committing yourself to finding a church, a good church, will make a lot more sense. Third lesson that I thought about that's important, and the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about, and that is, choose your friends carefully. Now, most of the time, I think for all of us, we tend to almost fall into our friendships rather than to choose our friends. But a good friend can make a huge difference in your life. And if you are concerned about following God, then a good friend will help you and encourage you in that pursuit. Now, not all your friends have to be, not all your friends should be Christians. They need your influence just as you need their influence. But still, there are good choices of friends and there are bad choices of friends. If we had the time to read through the book of Proverbs, Proverbs has a lot to say about friendships. In fact, if you have time, those of you going off to school, just read through it sometime and see all the different lessons, all the words of wisdom about friends. It talks about finding friends that are trustworthy, that you can count on. Friends that are faithful, that will be there through thick and thin. One of the Proverbs says, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and they're going to be there for you. Find a friend who will be honest with you, who won't just tell you what you want to hear, but will tell you the truth. There are a lot of friends that will say what they think you want to hear, but a good friend will tell you exactly what they think. Proverbs is full of things about friendship. And good friends help point you in the right direction. And bad friends can pull you from that direction. In fact, early on in the book of Proverbs, Solomon warns us of the danger of bad friends and bad acquaintance. He says in verse 10 of chapter 1, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us, let us lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse.' My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot in their paths, for their feet rush into sin, and they are swift to shed blood." Now, admittedly, I doubt that any of you, especially those of you going off to college, are going to be really tempted to get in with a band of friends like that, that are out to create anarchy. But I think it's not unusual for kids to go off to college and to find friends who are interested in experimenting with drugs or getting drunk or all kinds of things that if you look back on it, you think, I don't know why I got involved with that. And if you choose the wrong friends, you may find yourself kind of the peer pressure being swept in a direction you don't want to go. Proverbs says just choose your friends carefully. Again, as parents, when you raise your kids, help them to understand the importance of the friends that they choose. Help them to evaluate among their friends those that are helpful and those that are not. An awful lot of you who have junior high and high school age kids, they would really benefit by just a little heart-to-heart conversation about what are their friends like and what's the direction of their friends' lives. And do they want to go that direction? But for you going off to college, you're not going to have that kind of input, so you've got to choose carefully for yourselves and decide who your friends are going to be. I'm told that in the Australian outback, that deserty area that covers much of Australia, that there are roads there that occasionally get rain, and when the rain comes, the sands turn into just mud pots, and cars that go through there make these ruts that extend for miles. And then when the summer sun comes out, it's baked into these hard ruts. And there's a sign at the edge of the Australian outback that says, "Choose your rut carefully, because you'll be in it for the next 10 miles. I'd say to you, as you go off to college and you make friends as a freshman, choose your friends carefully, because you're going to be with them for the next 4 years. And the good friends you're going to have for the rest of your life. So think through, who really is heading in the right direction? Who do I fit with, and who has a heart that kind of beats with mine and will help me be the person God wants me to be? Choose your friends carefully, and it'll help set the course of your life. So, make sure you got the priorities straight. Just focus on allowing your life to be focused on what God wants you to focus on. Choose a good church. Choose a good set of friends. And the fourth thing that I'll mention, there are other things I could mention, but just in the interest of time, is seek truth when you go to college. And you're going to go off to college and you're going to have all kinds of information thrown at you. And you're going to have all kinds of people who have all sorts of qualifications to give you all sorts of facts. But facts and knowledge are not necessarily the same thing as truth. So as you go off to college, seek truth. I mean, you may have a teacher who has three PhDs and is chairman of the department who really is a fool. The book of Proverbs says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And there's a lot of fools on college campuses who have a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, but they just haven't processed it very well. So you need to ask, what's this person about? Where's their life headed? If I follow what they're teaching me, where will I end up? I mean, you've got to learn the facts, and there are a lot of facts that will be of great help to you in science classes and math classes and all the classes. Learn what you need to learn, but ask questions. Don't just accept what somebody says because they say it. And that's true not only in the classroom. That's important when you go to church, when you have interactions on campus. Seek truth. One of the things I learned a long time ago as a pastor that I've shared with a few different people that I really think is important, and that is that there are a lot of Christians, especially in my generation, who were raised just to believe a set of facts of what the church taught, what their parents believed, what the pastor thought was right, and they were basically encouraged to know it and believe it, and that's it. Don't question it, just believe it. Now, I admire the intent behind that, but I've discovered, at least in my life, that that sort of mentality produces a very weak faith. Because behind the idea of don't question your faith, don't question what you've been taught, is a subtle, at least I think, a subtle reasoning. The reason you don't dare question it is because if you begin to ask questions of your faith, you're going to find all the loopholes. And you're going to find all the places where it falls apart. And then you're going to discover that everything that you've lived your life for is a lie. For those of you going off to college, parents raising kids, folks moving elsewhere, if our faith is a lie, then, in all honesty, we should leave it behind. If my serving as a pastor is to promote a lie, then I'm wasting not only my time, I'm definitely wasting your time, and I'm encouraging you to center your lives around something that is going to be utterly worthless. But as Jesus talked to the Father, he said, Father, your word is truth. And if what God says is true and if what the Bible says is true, then it's the very nature of truth is it's going to stand up to our questions. So don't be afraid to ask the questions. I don't guarantee that you'll have all the answers. I certainly don't have all the answers. But you'll discover that there's a strong foundation to a good faith. And that there's reason to believe what you believe. And that your worldview as a Christian will stand up to anybody else's worldview on the college campus. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Your purpose as a Christian is to seek truth in the classroom, out of the classroom, in the church. You don't go in asking questions that are questions of the antagonist. I mean, you're not out to tear down somebody's faith. You're there to understand faith, to understand the scriptures. But don't be afraid to ask questions, because I think you'll discover the more questions that you ask, the more you'll find the substance of your faith is solid. Truth can stand up to questions. And if it's not true and you discover it's not true, you might as well discover it right now and then find something that is true. So that's it. Those are the four things that I wanted to share. I really hope those of you going off to college will keep those things in mind. Making sure your priorities are straight. God is central. You make an effort to find a good church to get involved in. Choose some good friends. And really seek truth in the midst of your education. And I hope, Dave and Jacqueline, that as you raise Joseph and Lily, that you'll help them to center their lives around God. And that they will come to have a value for the church and how they can grow in their relationship with people in the church, and that they'll choose some good friends. Some of them will come out of this church, I hope. And that in all their lives, they will really seek to know God and seek His truth. And I hope as Paul and Omira, as they head out to California, that they too will find a community of faith that will help them stay focused on God, where they can find friends and where they can be centered on Him. That's what wisdom I have to offer. As I've thought about it, this is a happy and a sad occasion, as I said at the outset. But, you know, really, happiness is a very ephemeral thing. It's just passing. I can be happy today and sad tomorrow. The real value of today won't be known for years to come. I mean, if 20 years from now or 30 years from now, Joseph is a grown man who is following God and is excited about his faith and making a difference, that makes today even a happier day. And if 4 years from now, Deanna and Joanna and Max, John, and others who might be in school, if you leave college with a faith that is more solid and more vibrant, as hard as it is to say goodbye to you, Carl, this afternoon, if that's true in your life, this is a great day. And it's up to you to determine whether that'll be so. Let's pray together. Lord God, these are pretty simple, basic truths. But I pray for Max as he goes off to Syracuse. I pray that you would bless him and encourage him and help him. I pray that he might keep you central in his life and follow you. I pray for Deanna. She'll be staying closer to home, but Father, I pray for her as she goes to school that her choice of friends, her involvement in the church, her life would be centered on you and that she might grow stronger in her faith. I pray that for Joanna as well. I pray that she goes up to Rochester, that experience in the cold of New York will be in the warmth of your love. That you'll encourage her and strengthen her. For John Sampaio, Father, as he goes to the University of Pennsylvania, there's a lot of knowledge in that school, but a lot of fools masquerading as educated people. Lord, I pray for him to focus on you. And Lord, I pray for Carl and pray that his experience at college would bring honor to you and enrich his life and that he would be focused on you and build solid friendships for a lifetime. And Father, we thank you for the Chepikas and for the Diazes. Lord, I pray for each of us that this might be a day where we center our lives on you. In Jesus' name. Amen.